Okay, the next case for argument is Torres Navarro v. Whitaker. That's number 16-73040.
Your Honors, my name is Jonathan Coffin. I represent the petitioner, Casey Torres Navarro. This case is similar than the case we just had. It also involves a person who was detained at the border by the Border Patrol. It involves a motion to suppress. In this case, the document that the petitioner seeks to suppress is the Form I-213, the document which is missing from the other case. The petitioner.
Now, in this case, as Judge Berzon mentioned a moment ago, you do challenge the arrest.
That's correct.
You argue that there was no probable cause?
The respondent argues that there was no probable cause to arrest her, that the I-213 didn't even make out the basic components, and the information that the petitioner provided the immigration judge demonstrated that there was no determination of alienage that preceded the arrest.
Again, there's a burden question. Whose burden is it to demonstrate that there was no probable cause?
The burden is on the petitioner to prove that there was an egregious violation of her Fourth Amendment rights.
All right. So she hasn't said anything very specific about what happened, other than what's in the I-213, has she?
She
said they didn't ask me my name where I was from. Did she say they didn't take her documents, or they?
She said that they didn't receive any documents for her until after she was arrested and incarcerated in the Border Patrol
station. Doesn't say where she was or what she was doing there. She says she was walking in the Rio Grande Valley. Doesn't say where.
That's correct. The petitioner has never maintained that there wasn't a reason to detain her if there was a suspicion that she was an alien and she was illegal in the United States. The law is clear that the Border Patrol has that authority to detain, to investigate what this person is doing near the border.
So clear. They have to have some facts. I mean, if I'm walking on a street in the Rio Grande Valley, they can't just stop me.
I think that if they have a reason, I think that they can stop a person if they have a reasonable suspicion that the person is an alien who's illegally in the United States,
okay,
or there's been an illegal act is occurring. They have the authority to.
Well, right, if they have, but there's nothing in this record to show that either. There's stuff in the brief about they saw her coming on a raft across the river into the country, but that's not anywhere in the record of the case. Is that right?
That's right.
What about at AR-135? At the top, says that the I-213 says that on March 26, 2014 at 7:45, she entered at, it looks like, Hidalgo, PWAM, by raft.
Well, there is no information that this was information that the petitioner provided them. They don't explain it at all where this information came from. And
sure it does. Look at the narrative. Second sentence. A Border Patrol agent determined this subject had unlawfully entered the United States from Mexico. And that's at AR-136. And then AR-135 tells us what she actually told the border agent, which is she'd arrived from Mexico by raft.
The petitioner has maintained, Your Honor, that this I-213 is not a reliable record and that the description of her arrest...
You're shifting gears. You're saying that the I-213 doesn't establish what the petitioner told the agent, and it says it right here in plain English. Now, the agent doesn't connect the dots, but the agent doesn't have to connect the dots. In the narrative, the agent said, I determined the subject had unlawfully entered the United States from Mexico, and then on the previous page, he explains how, by raft.
The petitioner has...
So isn't the agent saying the petitioner told me that she had entered the United States from Mexico by raft?
I don't know that that's how they determined that at all. She didn't admit that at all at any point.
But she never said in her declaration that she didn't tell the agent that she had entered Mexico, the United States from Mexico by raft, right?
No, she did not. She did not deny that specific allegation. But Your Honor, the issue presented was whether or not this I-213 and this description that you're focusing on is a credible record of her arrest. A petitioner has contended that this arrest description and the description of her immigration processing when she was in the Border Patrol station was just boilerplate language. It was language that the Border Patrol has used over and over again in dozens and dozens of other I-213s. So this is not a description of her encounter and her arrest by a Border Patrol agent.
But she didn't. She had the, when she did the declaration, she had the I-213, right?
Yes.
So in the declaration, she said, I wasn't asked my name, I wasn't asked my origin, I wasn't asked my citizenship, but she never said, I wasn't asked how I got here, and I never said that I got here by raft from Mexico.
No, she did not deny the allegation in the I-213 that she had illegally entered the United States.
Then how can you argue that there was not just a violation of the Fourth Amendment, but an egregious violation of the Fourth Amendment?
Because the I-213 alleged that she was arrested because the Border Patrol agent had determined that she was an alien who illegally entered the United States, and she denied the allegation that alienage was determined. And the I-213 was submitted for the specific purpose of proving alienage at the removal hearing, and that's what she was contesting.
Can't the agent infer from an arrival by raft from Mexico across the Rio Grande River that the person's an alien?
An agent could do that, but that's not what the I-213 says. The I-213 says that a determination was made, but doesn't specify on what basis that determination was made. It doesn't say that I determined that she was an alien because she arrived on a raft. It alleges a
right.
form
I'll
of
I'll grant you that. It doesn't connect the dots, but look, it's a two-page document, and the only inference you can draw from the narrative part saying, I determined that she was an alien, is because she had arrived from Mexico by raft.
But none of this information and none of these arguments were made by DHS at the removal hearing. Just like in the prior case, a motion to suppress was filed, and DHS did not answer. When an appeal was filed to the BIA, DHS did not answer. When the silence was noted to the BIA, and it was argued that they should enforce their practice manual and deem the presumption of regularity rebutted, DHS didn't answer. DHS was the party in that room that had the burden of proof. It just ignored this case. It submitted an I-213 and it walked away. There should be a consequence for that. And the BIA abused its discretion and deprived the petitioner of her fundamental right to the reasonable exercise of the BIA's discretion when the BIA didn't enforce its practice manual and didn't mete out a consequence to the DHS for what it did.
Can you tell me, I'm sure it's there because you say it's there and Judge Feinerman says it's there, but where is the statement that she came by raft?
Her statement?
The statement that she came by raft.
Right.
On the 213.
I'll take that one. It's four lines down on A135, the first page of the I-213.
A135. Oh, I see. I got it. Thank you.
Well, Your Honor, if there's information that's not accurate in the I-213, for example, the dates of these documents, according to this narrative, the petitioner was read the information on the I-867, advised of her rights. She indicated she understood. She said she was willing to make a statement. That narrative was prepared 2 days before the interview took place. It was impossible for that officer to know what was going to happen 2 days in the future. I think that reason alone casts significant doubt on the reliability of this I-213, and not only on the reliability of whether or not she understood an I-867, whether she was willing to make a statement, but it also cast doubt on this allegation about how the Border Patrol officer determined she had illegally entered the United States. I think the onus was, once the presumption of regularity was rebutted, I think
Doesn't the March 26th refer to when they found her?
Excuse me?
Doesn't the March 26th date refer to when they found her? The date 3/26/20. You're assuming that it means the date they wrote this document, but how do we know that?
They found her on March 26th. She was arrested on March 26th.
I know, but what makes you say that the 213 suggests that this document was written on March 26th?
The dates on the top of at 136 of the record, 137.
Well, right, but you're assuming that means when they wrote it rather than when they found her.
Well, they wrote the dates on the documents and on the
I-867. I know,
but
when they explain the one piece of paper that does specifically say when the document was prepared, it says March 28th. At the report of any view at the bottom of page 135.
Yes, the I-213 was signed on March 28th.
That seems weak. Let's say that's weak. Go ahead. Keep going.
Well, Your Honor, the I-867, which the DHS did not present at the hearing, which the petitioner refused to sign, is dated March 28th. It's dated 2 days after this. Document was the narrative was prepared.
Okay, you're over your time. Let's hear from the government.
Thank you, and may it please the court again, David Wetmore for the Attorney General. Judge Fleming, you really hit the nail on the head on this case. I mean, again, we're in the expedited removal context. Again, we're you've got CBP apprehending an alien within, here it's 25 minutes after entry on the raft. The raft notation says 745.
How do we know that? Excuse me, how do we know that?
That same document, Your Honor, where the raft appears, there's a time below it. It says 745, and then the apprehension time is 810 on the other side. One's on the left side of the document.
Okay.
So we're talking about a 25-minute, Border Patrol comes out, they interdict the alien. Again, no warrant required for the apprehension. Again, the standard is not probable cause to arrest. It's merely the reasonability standard, which is can consider the totality of the circumstances. Here, she just crossed on a raft across the Rio Grande. Pretty good indication that she's entering illegally. She is then transported to the Border Patrol station where she does not make a claim to any kind of fear, unlike in the other case. And so we see the first prong being fully played out in the expedited removal process here. And this is documented in the I-213 as well as the I-867A, which petitioner actually put into the record and redacted the content. The alien petitioner didn't sign the document.
She says that before she was arrested, i.e., locked me in a room, they forcibly transported me to a patrol office. They arrested me forcibly. I see you're saying they didn't really arrest her when they seized her and took her to the Border Patrol officer, and that wasn't arresting her.
Well, no, that's under arrest, and that's the warrantless arrest is authorized under INA 287A2 for an alien.
And they don't need probable cause for that. They just need reasonable suspicion.
Reasonable suspicion, Your Honor, and that's the Supreme Court found that in Bergnani Ponce, which is 422 U.S., and it's at 881.
But that's to stop somebody. But now they're arresting her.
Yeah, that's the reasonable suspicion in order to take her into custody. They under ER, you have the reasonable suspicion, you execute the warrantless arrest, you take the alien back, you have the interview, and that interview, that process of that interview is well documented at INA 235B1A Romanet I, or 1. And that's the process that you see in the documents playing out in the I-867A, and that's at page 96 of the record. The interview was undertaken to determine whether she is in fact removable and whether she asserts a credible fear or any fear of return.
Judge Berzon's question was, in order to arrest in this situation, do you need only reasonable suspicion or do you need probable cause?
I believe the warrantless, in order to stop her, you would need the reasonable
suspicion.
That's
not my question. Arrest.
I believe the warrantless arrest, under the statute, it says may arrest any alien in the U.S. if he has reason to believe that the alien is in the U.S. in violation of any law or regulation and is likely to escape before a warrant can be obtained for his arrest.
Does that mean reasonable suspicion or probable cause?
It would be reason to believe, which I believe is, I believe it's lower than probable cause, but it's at INA 287A2. So,
Brignone, Ponce, and Almeida Sanchez and that whole lot of cases has nothing to do with this. They have to do with stopping people and roving patrols or roadblocks or whatever to make inquiry. They don't have it to do with arresting people.
Sure. And here they have an encounter with her based on the totality of the circumstances that they look at, the proximity. She just entered on a raft, the proximity to the border. Clearly, I mean, whether it's probable cause, reasonable cause, it clearly exists here. And there's no allegation whatsoever in that declaration that it didn't exist. They're not controverting any of that.
If they don't know who she is or whether she... according to her, at that point, they don't know who she is, where she came from, or whether she
is a citizen. It was from Mexico on a raft.
Well, where she's a national, or whether she has any right to be in the U.S. They don't ask her any of those things before they arrest her. Now, could I take a raft across the river? I don't know. Maybe I can't because I have to go to a border to a border stop. Or is anybody who takes a raft across the river therefore?
Yes, Your Honor. You're entering without inspection by an immigration officer. That entry is in itself illegal.
Well, I understand, but so now they're inspecting her, but they don't ask her anything before they arrest her, she says.
Well, we have the information that's in the 213 regarding, they say, we ascertain the fact that she is illegal, which is imminently inferable from the fact that she just paddled across the river on a raft and was apprehended 25 minutes later by Border Patrol when there's a Border Patrol station, you know, a short distance away where she could have lawfully entered if she was entitled to lawfully enter the United States. So, I would submit under no circumstances would that in any way not give someone probable cause.
I was down in that river last year, and there were people on rafts. Oh, I don't know. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, it's in the document. The document's entitled to a presumption of reliability. It's clearly stated there whether, it's unclear. She didn't say, no, I wasn't on a raft. She hasn't said that at all. She had the opportunity to file this declaration. All she alleges is, I didn't give them my name or concede my alienage at the time. And, to have a rule where you just submit an unsworn affidavit, a declaration, which is all that's present here, where you say, well, geez, the Border Patrol didn't ask me if I was an alien, and I stood there silently after they just watched me illegally enter our country. And you say, well, geez, that's an egregious constitutional violation? That strikes me as a bit absurd. And everything that followed is absolutely by the book. She's transported lawfully with the warrantless arrest. She has her interview 2 days later, where through the expedited removal process, she goes through the I-867A interview in Spanish. The advisals are clearly there. It indicates that it was read to her, and she refused to sign that. So at that point, they have two options. They can, gather additional evidence or find her removable on that basis, or they can exercise their prosecutorial discretion, which they did, and they issued her, in both of these cases, we see the alien going from the 235 proceedings to 240, traditional proceedings before an IJ, when the notice to appear is issued. In this case, unlike the other, there was no need to file a second a warrant because the custody, the mandatory custody, didn't change. She was simply released on her own recognizance. In the first case, we saw a warrant being filed because she was being held previously, as required by law under 235, and after she was put into 240 proceedings. She's now being held under INA 236, which is noted on that arrest warrant in the first case, and that's plainly noted on that document. And that was the reason why, because the underlying legal rationale for detaining you changed from not needing the warrant to needing the warrant. Here, we don't have to go through that step because she was simply released.
But substantively, I gather that your contention is that if they saw her going on the raft, which maybe one can infer from the 213, that without, even if, as she says, she was not asked her name, place of birth, or my country of citizenship, because that fact has been assumed throughout this case, that's true, then they had probable cause to arrest her. Is that your bottom line?
They have absolutely any cause to arrest her, and under 235, she has an absolute right to answer those charges, which she had the opportunity
your position is that even if they made no attempt to ascertain who she was or whether she was an alien or where she was born or what her country of citizenship is, just by seeing her come across the Rio Grande in a raft, they had probable cause to arrest her.
Yeah, I absolutely, Your Honor. I think that would constitute may arrest any alien in the U.S. if the officer has reason to believe that the alien is in the U.S. in violation of any such law. It's reasonable to believe that someone who paddles across the Rio Grande, rather than going to the border station, that's, you know, a number of feet, maybe a mile away, you know, that person is entering the country, seeking to avoid inspection and entering illegally. Plus, here, the I-213 does detail, as Judge Feinman pointed out, what that process was. The officer says, here's how I interdicted this individual, the raft. 25 minutes later, I ascertained that this petitioner was in the country illegally, and therefore I arrested this person and took them into custody.
That's the problem. She says he didn't ascertain anything when he interacted with her because he didn't ask her anything. So at that point, he has no more information than he did before, according to her.
But that's his bald, unsworn, that's the petitioner's bald, unsworn accusation in the declaration, which is controverted by the I-213, which is entitled to a presumption of reliability.
Why are you admitting that her declaration controverts the part of the I-213 that refers to the raft? All the declaration says is, I was not asked my name, my place of birth, or my citizenship. It doesn't say, I was not asked how I got here. Shouldn't your argument be that there is no contradiction between the declaration and the part of the I-213 that refers to the raft?
Absolutely, Your Honor. Even if all those facts were taken as true, then still absolutely the cause under INA 287 to apprehend the restless alien, regardless of whether you believe the facts in the declaration, as Judge Feinman suggested, or in conjunction and in accord with the facts in the I-213.
And is somebody who's arrested subject to a search incident to an arrest?
Yes, it would be.
And then wouldn't the search incident to an arrest have yielded the Honduran identification documents?
Absolutely, Your Honor.
And wouldn't those documents establish that the petitioner was an alien from Honduras?
Absolutely, and that would be an independent source of ascertaining her alienage, and that warrantless search of her person is plainly authorized in INA 287C. It's a power to conduct a search without warrant of the person and of the personal effects. Here we have the personal effects in possession of any person seeking admission to the United States. And under 235, any alien that's in the subject to expedited removal, clearly he or she is deemed a person that's an applicant for admission under 235. That's at 235A1. So there's no problem with the apprehension, the search, the detention, and the ultimate decision here to release her.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
You have a minute for rebuttal.
Thank you. Your Honor, the issue of the documents was not relied upon by the BIA to make its finding. It based its finding on the I-213 alone. It just ultimately disregarded. And as respondent admitted in the answering brief, that the documents were not relied upon by the BIA in reaching its...
So let's say you win here. It gets remanded. The BIA considers the documents, and then we get the same result.
Not necessarily. She could make other arguments, and she did make other arguments in her brief of why those documents were not admissible at the hearing. She didn't make them to the judge, and she concedes that there were arguments that were made.
Are they fake documents?
Excuse me?
Are they fake?
Not that I'm aware of.
So the immigration officer or the asylum officer found she had a credible fear?
Well, Your Honor, the I-213 does allege that she was given a credible fear interview, but there is no evidence here at all of that. Unlike the other case, there's no I-87.
In both of these cases, though, you rather than filing any relief or any application for relief, you opted...
There were no applications filed.
You asked for an entry of an order of removal, essentially is what you did.
Both of these petitioners believe that their motions to suppress were denied wrongfully, and they were going to appeal that decision.
If you had asked for relief, filed an application for relief, could you have raised the suppression issue in a subsequent appeal?
Well, Your Honor, there is a regulation. It's 1240.11e that says that if the alienage allegation and a notice to appear is not admitted, that the information in a defensive asylum application can't be relied upon by DHS to prove alienage at the hearing. But once it reached the point where she was, if a person was testifying in support of the application, I think at that point the immigration judge would have evidence that was attenuated from the arrest. It would be independent evidence. She would have admitted her alienage in an effort to apply for relief. But the form itself...
But here she did, in fact, admit her alienage at the interview at the patrol station, right?
She did. She had admitted it after she had been detained in a harsh conditions and humiliating conditions. She was 18 years old. She was 6 months pregnant. This information was omitted from the I-213 so that the reader was deprived of all the information, the totality of the circumstances.
Well, who's the reader of the 213? I mean, are you maintaining that the 213 was an illegally filled out 213?
Well, I think that if a Border Patrol agent places inaccurate information, that I-213 is inadmissible as evidence at the removal hearing. And
she claims it appears to be in good health. Isn't inconsistent with being 6 months pregnant?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
She claims it appears to be in good health. Is not inconsistent with being 6 months pregnant.
No, but holding an 18-year-old a woman who's 6 months pregnant in a frigid room, not giving her any relief from the... from the temperatures and giving her frozen meat to eat, I think does affect her health status.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Case is submitted at this time. And thank you, counsel, very much. I hope this worked out okay for the government lawyers.
Oh, absolutely, Your Honor. Thank you for allowing me to appear via VTC. It's a great honor.
Okay, thank you. Matter submitted. That ends our session for today.